Well, welcome to week three of Walking with My Redeemer, and this is Lessons from the Book of Ruth. I want to start this morning with a very short verse from Isaiah 30, and then we'll pray. Isaiah 30, 15 says, "Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, and quietness and trust shall be your strength." And I just wanted to point out those words from the prophet, "in returning and rest you will be saved." Is that not a snapshot of what we're looking at with Ruth? Lord, help us this morning to focus our hearts on the passage that you have for us to study today and work in our hearts. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to work in our hearts, not only so that we'll just know what the Bible says, but that we will adore you and know your heart toward us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We took quite a slow pace for the first 3 weeks getting through chapter one, and you notice in your study guide we quickened the pace this week, all of chapter two that we're going to cover this morning, so we have quite a bit to go through. I mentioned in our opening session that this book should maybe be called the Book of Boaz, and now we're going to be introduced to him in verse one, and he really will become a central figure for us, but it's what he does for Ruth that's the point, and so that's why we call it the Book of Ruth, and that's a good thing. Today we're going to just look at one amazing day, okay? And we're going to divide it into three categories. First, Boaz and Ruth independently as people in the first seven verses. Then we're going to take a look at their interaction together. And then we're going to finish with Naomi and Ruth debriefing about what the day looked like. So let's start with reading verse 1. "Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor.' And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered, 'The Lord bless you.' And then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, 'Who's this young woman? Or whose young woman is this?' And the servant who is in charge of the reapers answered, 'Oh, she's a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she's continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." So let's pause for just a minute and make sure that we have our characters really in view here. Ruth, again, is described as Ruth the Moabite. She has a title that's attached to her as a reminder to us of a Deuteronomy chapter 23 problem with her. She doesn't belong to the nation of Israel. She's out gleaning in the field, which points to God's gracious Deuteronomy chapter 24 provision for people who don't belong. And Deuteronomy chapter 24, 19, the law to Moses said, "When you reap your harvest in your field, and you forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." And so that is what she was doing in the field. You know, Ruth and Naomi likely found some lodging, but now they had to attend to the problem of food. And so that is what Ruth was doing. So our look at Boaz, in these verses, we are reminded, or we see, we hear, he's a relative of Elimelech. And we hear he's a worthy man. He's a good man, okay? And he comes out from Bethlehem into the field because in their culture, few people lived on the farm like we do in America. They lived in the villages and came out to the farm. So he comes out from Bethlehem, greets his workers. Don't you just get the sense in that? Like, this is a happy group of people. They got a good boss. They're working hard. Everything seems like really a happy little field going on there. But he lays eyes on Ruth right away. He spots her, and he inquires about her. And so as we go through our story today, what we want to do, like we often do, what does it say? What does it mean, and what does it mean to me? What does it say? What's the natural story? What happened between those two real people? What can it possibly mean for our spiritual life? how might I apply some of those things to my life? And so that's what we're going to dialogue about today, and then you'll continue that dialogue in your discussion groups. But so I have to start with verse 3, and if you did your study guide, I made you find an NIV Bible and write it out, which in the NIV, verse 3 says, as it turned out. I love those words. I first read this story with those words, as it turned out. And it was about 18 years ago that I think I first really saw my face in this story. And I even shared, I remember at a little women's breakfast we had down in that corner of the basement. And the reason I remember it so well, it was the fall of 1997, because after that women's breakfast, and as we were putting things away, my big Timmy, little then, tumbled down those stairs in his walker, head over heels. And yeah, he's relatively okay. but so that's, you know how it is. Those things are in your mind. But so it was at that season that I read through the book of Ruth, and I'm like, oh, this is my story. I can see myself in there. And I just want to share with you one little element of what that looks like, because I don't want to make this about me. This is about you seeing your face in the story. But this phrase, as it turned out, at that time, and I've always held on to it, I remember that, you know, when the Lord was drawing Paul and I to him, and our life was a disaster. And you've heard, you know, a lot of our story, you know, Paul has shared things, but we were pretty double-minded and, you know, just completely walking in the world. And so we were talking about, we need to get a divorce. This isn't working. I don't want to be married to you. And we were so double-minded that in the same conversation of saying, let's get divorced, I'm looking through the paper and I see a concert and I'm like, oh, should we go to this concert? Sure. So we go to a Christian concert. I guess we thought we could go to the concert first to get a divorce later. I don't know. But second chapter of Acts, Great Falls, Montana, C.M. Russell High School Auditorium, and we went that night. And as it turned out, of all the 1,000 people in that auditorium, God had a seat for us right next to a sharp girl. She was so sharp. She was raised in a Christian home. Her parents owned the Christian bookstore in town. She had been to Bible college. She was living for the Lord, 21, 23-ish. I don't know. We were about the same age. I think I was 22. And as the Lord, the Holy Spirit, ministered to us at that concert, and Annie Herring gave a passionate response at the end, we were all holding hands, a little kumbaya-ish. But she said, you know, just if you're responding to the Lord tonight, you squeeze the hand of the person next to you. And so I squeezed that girl's hand. And she, as it turned out, she was the kind of girl that was bossy enough to say, let's sit down and talk. She wasn't thinking about going out for pizza or something like that. So we sat down. She's like, what's going on in your life? And I really don't remember the conversation. But what I remember is she sat there, found a piece of paper, and wrote out the names and addresses of 3 churches. And she said, you need to go to church. You need to get your life right with the Lord. And she was so bossy that we just did, you know? I was like, she says we need to, so I think we need to. But what I'm getting at is that phrase. Sometimes we see something in the Word and we go, I can own that. And, you know, God still does divine appointments. He still does divine interventions. And we can be looking for that, praying for that for us, for people in our lives, as it turned out. So I just want to leave you with that encouragement. All right, let's keep going on here. Part 2, I think it says verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter. Do not go glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? But Boaz answered her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and come to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. And then she said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. And so this is how the first meeting went. They got quite a little ground covered, don't you think? But it gets even better. They have this dialogue in the morning, and by lunch we have a first date. Let's keep reading. Verse 14. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. And when she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, let her glean among the sheaves, and do not rebuke her. And also pull out some of the bundles for her and just leave it for her to glean and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. Do you remember in our opening introduction, we said that as Christian women, as women who love God, we want our imaginations to be shaped by the narrative of the Bible. We do not want our imaginations to be shaped by the narrative of the culture. All the things that want to impress themselves upon our imaginations, they're there. They're pressing in. But you're here. You're taking a morning out of your week because you want your thought process, and I like to use the word imaginations because this is a story that brings a lot of that we can imagine. We can see it like a movie in our minds. We want it to be shaped by the narrative of the Bible. So this story really happened. It's a physical, natural love story that is interesting to read. It's a Cinderella story. Like Ruth is just, she's the outcast. She's the unlikely one. And what we see in here is the story of someone taking notice of her. Don't we all love that? I mean, as women, I don't know if men can read the story quite the same way that we can, the same identification, but can we not identify with that, with somebody saying, you know, just looking over a whole field and saying, I see you, I pick you. That's really something. But there's also the story here of our hope and redemption in Christ with Jesus. So I want to go back over some of these phrases and talk about what it can mean to our spiritual life, okay? First one is verse 8, where Boaz says, do not go glean in another field or leave this one. Ruth was determined to find her belonging with Naomi and her people and the God of Yahweh, or the people of Yahweh. And now that she's in the field, Boaz says to her, stay. You found it. Stay. Glean. Don't go try another field. And as we think maybe back on some divine appointments, again, with my story, like that's what God did for me. It's like, here's three churches. Go to one of them. Stay. It's safe. It's the people of God. You will be safe in this place because they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I love that the Holy Spirit is saying that through Boaz. Just stay here. Don't go and try and seek out another truth. Stay in this field. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping. And the they refers to the reapers. And we can interpret that, see in that the people of God, the true believers of God. Let your eyes be among. Stay in the field where the true worshipers of God are. There is a safety there. And then this beautiful blessing in verse 12. Boaz says to her, a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Boaz was made aware of Ruth's journey in life, how what she sacrificed, what she left, how she came, how she loved and cared for her mother-in-law in the process. It wasn't all for her. She was also providing a service for her mother-in-law as well in that love and care. And Boaz was aware of that. And so he says, may you be rewarded for that. And he says, by the God under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Can you take those 9 words, just pick them up, tuck them in a safe place, and keep them for the next lesson? Okay, we're going to need those nine words. So don't forget where you put them. Verse 14, of course, points out the come eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine. And Ruth and Boaz share some bread and wine at mealtime, which I suppose is a common meal in the fields during that day. But again, as we are shaping our imaginations with the narrative of the Bible, and already it's obvious, is it not, that Boaz is a type, a picture of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And so we, isn't it interesting that the writer took the time to write some of those details about bread and wine and what that might mean to us on this side of the veil. And then verse 16, I love this. Boaz, as they're departing, he parts with Ruth and he addresses his reapers and he says, hey guys, pull out some of the bundles of her. Pull out some of those bundles. Just leave it for her. Which shows a real sweet in the natural story, like a real sweet provision. You know, isn't that just awesome? Make it easy for her. But does God not do that for us as well? Does he not? Hasn't he gone to great lengths to pull out some of those bundles and make it easy for us to find? Romans tells it, is it not clear when we look at nature? Is it not clear? Aren't those bundles easy to see that we have a creator God? Is this word not easy to read? You might know that the New Testament was written in a form of Greek called Koine Greek that was street-level Greek, just the talk of the town. It wasn't intellectual. It wasn't hard. This is not like a medical journal to read, you know? And the Holy Spirit does that. He pulls out these bundles that are easy for us to pick up and to use for food, to feed us, to fill us, even before we belong to him. Ruth did not yet belong to Boaz. So the Holy Spirit comes and works in our lives even before we choose God. He chooses us. He takes note of us. He finds us in the field and he says, you, come here. Come sit by me. Isn't that sweet? When they have their lunch, Boaz says to Ruth, and you can imagine they were sitting. It says that Boaz was sitting with his reapers, not the gleaners. Okay, the gleaners are kind of a little bit the second class. They're coming in after. He's sitting with his reapers and he creates a space. He goes, come here, come sit by me. How that must have made her feel, just in the natural sense. But God does that to us. We're out in the world. We don't belong. And the Holy Spirit comes and he says, you, come here, come close. And then he goes to great lengths to drop extra grain for us that we can pick up and begin to shape an understanding of who he is. So beautiful. Let's do our last section where Naomi and Ruth debrief about the day, starting in verse 19. And her mother-in-law said to her, where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you because of this bounty of grain that she had brought back. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, well, may he be blessed by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Quite a little change in our Miss Naomi from last lesson, right? Look at her. Look at how encouraged she is. All of a sudden, the whole world, it's like the sun came out today, right? The whole world is different. She goes, well, blessed be Yahweh. You know, his kindness has not forsaken us. Sometimes, doesn't it just, don't our lives just need a little encouragement? It didn't take much. She just brought home a bundle of grain. And suddenly Naomi's countenance about life is so encouraged. And even in that, we can see a reminder for us as Christian women who want to encourage other people. We don't want to see people stay bitter and depressed and discouraged with life. Just something little sometimes can make a big difference on someone's journey to seeing life differently. But we'll keep going. Naomi also said to her, that man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. And Ruth the Moabite said, besides, he said to me, you shall keep close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good for you, daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. And so we see here that Boaz is mentioned, Naomi mentions him as a redeemer, which is first time we've hit that word. It's quite a relief. We titled this Bible study, Walking with My Redeemer. So it's a relief that, okay, we finally get to this word and we begin to see what this all means. But we're just going to leave it there for this week and pick it up in chapter 3. But I love this this little section here about the young men and the young women, the little confusion we have, a little gender confusion between young men and young women. I kind of feel like in days to come it will be an inside joke with Ruth and Naomi as they look back on that. But somehow Ruth had heard Boaz say, keep close to my young men. He didn't say that. He told her, keep close to my young women. And I feel like her Moabitess-ness is showing, you know, she doesn't have the proper, the filters that are appropriate for this culture and for what is appropriate. And maybe some of you who have spent some time walking in the world can think that through in your own mind and go, yeah, I remember a day when I did not have the proper filters. Like I didn't see things in an appropriate way of, you know, how the world operates. And but Naomi corrects her and says, no, it'll be good if you follow with his young women. And there's an application here for us, depending on which side of the young and old we feel like we might be. But if you are on the young side and feel like you can identify with Ruth, there's an application here to remember we might have some improper filters. We might hear and see and feel things differently than what they truly are or what they truly should be. And if we have a Naomi in our life that points that out, we should take note of that. We should say, maybe she has a point there. And if we're the Naomi in life, and we have some young Ruth in our life who we see is seeing life through wrong filters, and we can see there's confusion. You've been in the world. You are from Moab. I can see that right now. Look how gentle Naomi was with the correction. She didn't make her feel bad. She just restated the appropriate behavior. She goes, it will be good for you to go with his young women. He told his young men to stay away from her. Naomi is just gently correcting her. And that's a ministry for some of us older ladies, to just gently restate the appropriate, what's good. So the last verse here we have is verse 23. So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. So let's end today with a little something about Boaz and Ruth. And again, one thing that I mentioned about Boaz is that it tells us three times in this narrative that he is a close relative. Verse 21 says, that man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. That's pointed out three times to us, which means take note. There's something very special about this man. God directed her right to him. And so we're going to stay tuned on what redeemer means. The last thing about Ruth that I want us to look at is in verse 10. I want us to really take note of what her initial response was the first time she really said words to Boaz. And in verse 10, it says, she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? And there's a total sense of humility in what Ruth is saying. She's basically saying, I'm Ruth the Moabite. You are the worthy Israelite of the tribe of Judah. There's a difference between us. And yet you pick me. You have sought me out. You've picked me. Why have you done this? Why have you picked me? Because I sense that there's a barrier between us. But yet you've picked me. And she's so humble. She's just falling down at him. And in the same way, if we want to just stop and think about it for a little bit, we can apply that same thing to our experience with Jesus. If we understand what is against us when we first come to him, we can say, God, why did you pick me? Like, you're God in heaven, and here I am on earth, as we like to sing that song. Like, you're holy, and I'm a sinner. How did you come to pick me? There's a problem between us. We can't belong. We're not the same. But we went through Romans this summer in church, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our Redeemer took action upon us while we were yet sinners, in the same way that while this narrative keeps telling us that Ruth the Moabite, Ruth is still has a problem, yet Boaz is the one that's taking action and drawing her in. And so it's really, really beautiful, the story of being picked, being chosen. If that piques your interest, I want to remind you, chosen. This is our retreat theme, if you want more. But I'm going to let you guys discuss at your tables. Father God, thank you so much. Lord, may we just meditate on this thought that while we were yet sinners, you saw us in the field and you sought us out. You chose us. You drew us near to give us an opportunity, Lord, to choose you back. And we just want to delight in that. Lord, help us to see our face in the picture of this story, Lord. And we just pray that our discussion would be wise and fruitful and profitable. In Jesus' name, amen.